be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will obey my Lord. reading from the book of Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out of your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Privileged to have Mr. Greg Cole, the Development Director of Habitat for Humanity here in Jacksonville, give us our message this morning. So we welcome you, Greg.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be right and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Is the Lord with us? Or not. That was the lament or the cry of the ancient people of Israel as they wandered year after year in the wilderness. It wasn't always that way. I'm sure that when they first were delivered from slavery in Egypt and crossed through the Red Sea and entered a new land, that they were quite clear that God was in fact with them. They knew that they were on a journey that had been determined by God. But as time went on, and as they became hungry and thirsty and struggled to find their way, they began to wonder if God was in fact with them after all. They said to Moses, you know, Moses, it would have been better if you had left us in Egypt, because even though we were slaves, we still had something to eat and something to drink. Why have you led us into the wilderness? So that we can die here of thirst. So they wondered whether or not God was with them. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I have cried a similar lament, when I have wondered, is God here or not? Is God leading me down the path that God has set for me or not? And if so, how come I can't feel God? How come I can't experience God? How come I feel such uncertainty and can't imagine how what is happening in my life fits into any kind of plan that God might have for me? And it's during those times of uncertainty, during those times when I can't fathom the fact that God is with me, that I rest on and depend on the spiritual roots and foundation that have become the bedrock of my life. It is only those spiritual practices that I learned from childhood and that continue through adulthood that sustained me during those times. I know that one of your disciplines during this fall season is to write a rule of life. And some of you are doing that independently, some of you are doing it in groups, but together you're working on a rule of life that will help you to grow closer to God and to be more effective disciples of Jesus Christ. The rule of God, or rule of life, is very important because it creates regularity in our lives. It creates patterns of behavior that help to sustain us. Patterns of prayer and worship, of study, patterns that are healthy for our bodies and our minds, patterns of relating with people in helpful ways. Those rules of life help to sustain us. One of the rules of life, or sources of a rule of life, that most of us have signed up for is found in the baptismal covenant. We promise that we will respect the dignity of every human being, that we will strive for justice and peace in the world and respect every human being. And those are not promises that are optional for us as Christians. That's what we signed up for when we were baptized and when we renew our baptismal covenant each time we participate in baptism. We signed up for that rule of life, and we need to take it seriously. And all of us have other rules, other things that experience has taught us that help us in our walk with Christ. A few years ago, my father and my brother and I took a trip through the Grand Canyon, a hiking trip. We started on one side on the north rim, and we hiked down and spent 3 days, 3 nights down in the bottom of the canyon and hiked up the south rim. And it was there that I learned some truly valuable lessons that I incorporated into my rule of life. And they were simplicity, or they are simplicity, preparation, and teamwork. Simplicity. I recently started following a blogger online. His name is Adam Baker, and he writes a blog and has a website called Man vs. Debt. And the motto of his website and what he does is sell your stuff, get out of debt, and enjoy your life. That's his rule of life. And that's how he and his wife and his child live. And he has lots of detail on his website about how they do that. And he even has a picture or pictures on his website of every single item that his family owns. Pretty remarkable. But he says that the first step toward a better life is removing everything from your life that stands in the way of your passion. Whatever it is that keeps you from being able to enjoy your passion, that keeps you from being able to live into the fullness of the life that God has given you, you need to remove. That's what simplicity is all about. When we got to the canyon, before we hiked down, our guide, there were 10 of us, and our guide made us go into this room where there was this long table, and he made us put all of our backpacks on the table. And he said something that I will never forget. He said, "Your enjoyment of this hike will be directly correlated with the weight of your pack." And I thought that was pretty good advice. But he took it a step further. He made us take everything out of our packs and place it all on the table in front of us. Now, that's a little bit embarrassing because every one of us had far more stuff than we needed. So we're taking all this stuff out, and I'm kind of looking at the other people around me, hoping that they've got more stuff than I do so I won't look so bad. And it was pretty fascinating to watch and see what people had. There was this family of four, these parents and their young adult children. And apparently one of the young children, or the children, was cook, chef. So they decided they were going to have gourmet meals down in the canyon. And they had fresh fruit. They had more food than I've ever had in my kitchen at any one time, right there in front of them. Oranges. Do you know how much a bag of oranges weighs? They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was really quite ridiculous. After we took everything out, the guy said, "Now let me show you what I have." And he took out this pack. He took item out one at a time, so we could see and he could tell us why he had that and why he only had one of them instead of four of them for the 4 days of our hike. Changes of clothes, one. Deodorant, he said, you don't need deodorant, you're going to sweat the entire time, and so is everybody else, so don't bring it because it weighs too much. He said, your tent weighs 3 pounds. Do you really need a tent? And I said, well, yeah, because there are rattlesnakes down there. But he didn't buy that argument, so we left our tents and we just slept under the stars and saved the 3 pounds. It was a wonderful lesson, and by the time we were done with this exercise, all of us had less than half of the weight remaining in our backpacks. And I can tell you that it did make a difference, because by the last day, that pack was getting kind of heavy. Simplicity is important, and finding ways to simplify our lives is important. And that's not just about material possessions. It can be about anything that clutters our minds and distracts us from what is important. On Friday, I took the somewhat radical step, and I don't know how long this is going to last, but took the radical step of getting rid of my Facebook page. I'm a little nervous about it because I'm not sure how long I can last without my Facebook, but I'm going to try it for a while because I found that I was spending too much time on it. It was distracting me, and it was just all this stuff going into my mind and spinning and keeping me from focusing on what was important. Getting rid of the clutter is important if we are to live lives of simplicity so that we can follow our passion, so that we can be God's people. The second thing that I learned on this trip was about preparation. That preparation is as important as the event itself. I love what Shannon Miller wrote in that packet that you all received about your rule of life. She said talked about how at the beginning of each year, their coach would give them a card and they had to write their goal for the year. So it could have been, you know, winning state championship or winning nationals or winning a bunch of medals in the Olympics, whatever the case might be. And then the coach made them flip it over and write their short-term goals, what they were going to do to prepare to meet their long-term goal. When we were on the hike, one of the things that you can imagine is important is having a comfortable pair of boots, hiking boots. This mother, the one with all the oranges, had a brand new pair of boots on. She had not prepared by breaking in her boots. And by the end of the first day, she had blisters all over her feet, and because of that, she was compensating, she hurt her knee. So now she's limping, and she's absolutely miserable. And it just went downhill for her from there, because there were other ways that she wasn't prepared as well. And by the third day, she had to be medevaced out of the canyon, because she was delirious and vomiting, and really, her life was in jeopardy. Not just because of the boots, but she was not prepared for the goal that she had set, which was to make it to the other side. Preparation is important. And if we want to be disciples of Jesus, if we want to be the body of Christ, then we have to do those things constantly that prepare us for what is to come. Prayer, Bible study, worship, all of those spiritual disciplines that are important. And the third thing that I learned was teamwork, which I know is pretty basic. My father's 6'5" and very thin, and so when he wears his backpack, his center of gravity is much higher than mine. And I was a little nervous about that because we're on these narrow paths that are straight drop down into the canyon, and obviously falling over would be bad. So as time went on, my brother and I would take things out of his pack and put them in ours to lighten his load, to make it easier for him, particularly as he became more fatigued. And that's what God calls us to do, to bear each other's burdens, to know when we need to bear somebody's burden, and to know when we need to let somebody else take our burden. We're all in this together. Remember that wonderful poem of the English poet and priest John Donne, "No Man is an Island." He says, even if a clod, a clump of dirt, even if a clod be thrown into the sea, Europe is diminished. Even if a tiny part of us is lost, we're diminished. He says, if a man dies, I'm affected because I am involved in mankind. I am involved in humankind. If something happens to anybody, it happens to me, because we're all connected. We're all part of the human race, and we are all part of the body of Christ. We share each other's burdens, and we journey through this life together. you here at St. John's Cathedral are part of this particular community of the body of Christ. And you all have committed to going through this journey together. You have committed to representing Christ in this city of Jacksonville, in the heart of this city, to the best of your ability. And you have been called to be stewards of what you have so that you can do the ministry that God has called you to do. Ultimately, that's what stewardship is, using the resources that God has given us to do the work that God has called us to do. That blogger that I was telling you about said on his blog that money can't buy you happiness, but it does buy everything else. It takes money for you to do the work that God calls you to do here at St. John's Cathedral. I heard a preacher once say that there's good news, and the good news is that this church has plenty of money. The bad news is that it's in your pockets. As you think about your rule of life, and as you journey through this season of writing it and considering your commitment to St. John's, I hope that you will be generous with your church, with your community, with each other, so that you can do the work that God calls you to do. Because we want people, when they cry, "Is God with us or not?" we want to be able to answer on their behalf, "Yes, indeed, God is with every one of us." And if you can't feel it, if you can't experience it, then I will carry you through that dry time. I will be with you, and I will lead you so that you can experience God's presence in your life. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort and give strength to all who suffer. I invite you to speak for me. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over this city, that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be greater understanding among races and peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. especially for Otto Bowden and Michael Swinger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us humbly confess our sins to the Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Good to see you. Dean Kate is on her way back from England, and Father Perry Smith is on his way to Spain for the running of the bulls. Doesn't that just sound like him? It's been an honor to have Greg Cole with us this morning, our Habitat for Humanity director, and so, Greg, thank you, sir, for your message. I was handed an announcement that there'll be a Presidio Ultrea today at St. Philip's Episcopal Church at 5 o'clock. So any of our Presidistas involved, please make note of that. In the Great Hall is a beautiful art show. So when you go in there for coffee time this morning, look at all of the beautiful artwork that's up on the walls. Billy McCray has put this together, a wonderful artist. And this evening at 5 o'clock, the Alvin Green Memorial Choir will be here to celebrate with the art show. So you're welcome to come to that. This coming Saturday, we have a quiet garden day, and Sue Carmichael will be the speaker, and that's at 9 o'clock. Next Sunday, bring Fido with you. 9 o'clock, we'll be out in the park right here, the Cathedral Park, for Blessing of Pets. And there'll be no Sunday school or adult ed next Sunday because we'll all have our dogs and cats with us. And the service will be out there for the 9 o'clock. The pictorial directories are here, and you can pick yours up in the Great Hall. Following this service, go up and get your parish directory, and helps to put names with faces. It really is a blessing. And last but not least,
There's a Rule of Life workshop today in Ingram Lounge. So if those of you would like to bring your coffee in there, you can participate in that workshop right after this service. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a perfect offering to God.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, we share in the Holy Spirit and are made to be a community of love in your name. By your calling and encouragement, we have become your servants and your children, and our joy is complete in the unity of this holy fellowship with you and one another. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices and angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day,
bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for you, the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ gives himself for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Go forth into the world in peace. Be strong and of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Love and serve the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit, working in your life and through your life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.